Thank you. I feel really humbled to be with you today because we've learned so much, and thank you for sharing your wisdom yesterday for those who were in the training and this morning as well. As Guy said, with a perfect French accent, I used to be a former professional tennis player, and now I work as a speech writer. Makes sense, right? But for those who might not be convinced, because I truly believe that it was the perfect actually training, I hope that after my speech, you will be convinced why being a tennis player was the best training for the job. I always like stories. I remember when I was a kid, I was literally chasing my older brother and sister around the house so they could read me stories. I remember seeing my brother confidently entering the living room, seeing me and trying to run away, and then me chasing with the book, please hug, you want to stop. And one day it was my mom was on duty for reading me a story, and I stopped her in the middle and I said, Mom, how does it work? What, honey? This, like, you go to the store, you buy a book, but who makes the story? Like, where are they? How does it work? I was very, like, nervous and confused. And she said, okay, writers make stories. I paused for a second and said, can I be a écrivain when I grow up? Of course, honey, you can do whatever you want. And at the time, I had two other obsessions. One, I wanted to become a ballerina, which was not a great idea because I was a bit chubby and not the most gracious kid. Two, I was obsessed with my sister, and I would follow her everywhere. And when I mean everywhere, I mean everywhere. So when she went to the local tennis club to register for the new season, of course I was there. The coach asked, what about your little sister? Does she want to play tennis? She said, nah, she wants to become a ballerina. And I said, no, I want to play tennis. And this is how my tennis journey began. And after a while, my coach saw potential in me and said that I should really pursue into this career and really get involved in the sport. And for 20 years, I forgot about writing, and I started to chase tennis balls. And the dream of becoming a tennis player. Playing tennis at the highest level really teaches you a lot. It teaches you about discipline, it teaches you about priority settings, goal settings, resilience, and a bunch of stuff. You get to travel, you meet people. I mean, it was a really great adventure. And when I retired, I went back to school, and after graduating, after earning my master's degree, I was in a position to coach a 12-year-old kid who wanted to become a professional tennis player in Istanbul, Turkey. And while she was going to school, I had a lot of free time in my hand. And I met someone at a party who invited me to join Toastmasters, which is a public speaking club. And I said, sure, I like to talk, meet people. And we get free food in the break. I'm there, for sure. And Toastmaster was really nice. For those who don't know, it's like you have four people giving a speech, 5 to 7 minutes, and then you have evaluators who give an evaluation at the end of the session. And I really enjoyed my time there. It was really nice. But after a few weeks there, I realized something about myself that I was not very comfortable with. I was very, very judgmental. I would look at my friends on stage and be thinking, oh my gosh, like, I mean, like, how can you show your emotion, all your, like, weaknesses? I mean, what are you doing? Like, you're nervous, you're shaking, and you're, like, grabbing your pants. I mean, get a grip on yourself. And, on the other hand, I enjoyed my time, I liked it, it was good, I liked being on stage, and after a while, like, members of the club started to ask me if I could help them to draft speeches, to write them, to prep them before the speeches, and one person, five person, 10 person, maybe there's some business there, some cash to get. But I didn't feel legitimate. I was like, okay, I was chasing tennis balls for 20 years. And I'm no speech writer. I'm not a public speaking coach. And I told that to a friend. And then he said, Jennifer, instead of trying to figure it out, what a speech writer should look like or how does it sound, go back and look in your experience for the skills that will actually help you to stand out as a speech writer. And then just shut up and let's go eat. True story. And I did that. I did a bit of soul searching and I went back and I said, okay, what can help me to stand out as a speech writer? And remember, a few minutes earlier, I told you about the skills that I've learned, the resilience, discipline, and everything. But there's one thing, one skill that I didn't mention. And this is the one skill I think that, to me, was the most important and the biggest skill that I learned on the tennis court. A skill that is taught to every player who wants to make it at the highest level. And this skill is empathy. Might sound a bit odd to you because it's a bit tricky. It's not the type of empathy that you learned about in self-development books or that you see in TED Talks. No, it's what I like to call shock empathy. So when you're a tennis player, you are taught from a very, very young age to learn how to smell the blood from your opponent. And by smelling the blood, I mean spotting the weaknesses, where you can really what you can use to crush them, defeat them, destroy them. Yeah, tennis coaches are very intense in the vocabulary. These are not my words. And then I understood why I was so judgmental when I was going to Toastmasters meetings. I was always focusing on what was going wrong and instead of just enjoying the moment. And I said, okay, well, this is an opportunity here. I can actually use that empathy, looks the shock thing, because I think it's crazy and it's too much, to, instead of having clients and trying to defeat them, I can actually use that to create a safe environment around them. And it's been very rewarding since then because I started to approach my job, my new activity this way, to see a client or a person and to say, instead of thinking that, I'm going to actually defeat this person, I'm going to try to use that to create a bridge and to create a way to, to create a bridge and to a sense of safety for them and to tell them that the more they share, the better the material we get. And what I've learned as well is to share my experiences with the people actually I'm interacting with. Because it's not just to say, I figured you out and then, let me tell you about everything, let me tell you about life. I actually had to get involved as well. And the more I was sharing, and I realized that the more I was getting from the people in front of me, I mainly coach individuals and not big time people like you guys, but I realized that it's very interesting what you get. Especially when I worked with a lot of men for wedding speeches. And I really like this moment because when they start, they come and they're very nervous. And it's kind of a tennis match, you start from the other side of the net and you try to figure it out. You play your shot and you try to see if this person is responding. But I always like to think that we start as a single match and then it becomes actually like a doubles match where we become partners. And it's very interesting to see that they go from, I'm not sure if I can share that with you, I don't know if this is really relevant or not, to stories that, and the more embarrassing the story gets, the happier I am, because I'm they trust me. But sometimes they just share too much. And I'm like, okay, thank you for sharing that. That might be a bit too much. But it's really like a doubles match because you're actually there and you need to get your partners back. And this is really how I see my job. It's about you have a person in front of you and they come and sometimes it's really they have to share something for a very intimate moment of their life, like weddings or other things, and they never done it, and you have to make sure that it's gonna be okay. And at the moment, I work for a Chinese company, and it's a different challenges because you have to write content, but you don't get to have a one-on-one when you can like engage in very psychological things. No, you get like, oh, you should write this, Jennifer, and then, oh, but I think that you should write this, and you're just like, okay, can you guys like just get in the room and, you know, maybe like, but of course, you know, they cannot do that, and they don't have time to do that. But what I found very interesting for me is that what I try to do is that I focus on the vision of the company, and I try to see that the content that I receive, understand if it fits the global vision. If it does, I keep it. If it doesn't, okay, I actually put it in the trash, but I said, okay, you know, for the purpose of this specific assignment, we cannot keep it, you know, in the framework. And I understood that studying diplomacy was actually not a waste of time after all, because you get to really use that skill at work, especially when you work for a Chinese company. It's very interesting. But anyway, we can talk about this later. And so yes, I've been doing speech writing for a few years now, and I still consider myself like to be very very young and very junior in the discipline. But what I've learned about it, and like I said, you know, this matter of empathy, this matter of actually using that to create a bond and to get a better material, was really, really, really helpful. But I've also learned something from my teenage days that I'm actually using nowadays, is that in tennis, some days you win, some days you lose. And I want to use that from a guy that had a quote that had a decent career, Rafael Nadal. Maybe you heard about him, this guy from Spain who has a lot of muscles and plays quite okay tennis. I mean, let's say we can give that to him. But what he said was that the norm in tennis is to lose every week. Okay? And but he said that what you need to do is that, okay, once you lose, you understand why you lose, and you go back, you train, and you come back out to be better the next time, and possibly win or improve yourself, unless you're a French tennis player and you think that you're great and that you know, losing in the quarterfinal is okay. But that's another, again, that's another story. And this is really something that I use when I do a training or when I write something. I'm really like about the feedback and really about what can I improve, how can I get better. And I go back to my desk and I try to be better, and I come back out again and hopefully I do better. It's very exciting at the moment because I feel like I'm again this 6-year-old girl who's picking up a racket for the first time, or this 4-year-old girl who was like understanding that maybe one day I can become a writer. And for sure, speech writing and public speaking coaching might be different games played in different arenas with different set of tools. But at the end of the day, I am still this person who goes out there, tries the hardest, go back, practices, and comes to play again. And that will never change. Thank you.